Transformation Talk Radio on Stereo 1230 WBLQ. Coming up, Dr. J.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life Shifting with Dr. J. I am Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am totally excited to be back with you again this week to help you let go of fear and shift your life into high gear. Every Monday afternoon, you find me here at 5 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on WBLQ Stereo 1230 AM all across New England, and anytime on the Internet at www.transformationtalkradio.com. You will find me in dialogue with some of the most gifted coaches and speakers, teachers and experts from all across the field of empowerment and life change, psychology, spirituality, creativity, you name it. I'm here to find the best of the best to help you get back in touch with your deepest dreams, to be motivated, educated, energized, and living full out, life full out with more flair and less fear. So let's get going. Today I am very, very excited to be talking about a subject that is really near and dear to my heart. The name of the show today is Everybody Has a Story. What's yours? So we're going to talk about storytelling, how we craft our lives according to stories, according to a narrative. So before I get started and introduce a very special guest, let me just throw out a question to you to kind of prompt the context for our conversation. Have you ever asked yourself or said to yourself or someone else, that's my story and I'm sticking to it? Well, maybe you've never said it out loud, but it's certainly something that I think that we all find ourselves either thinking, or sometimes when we're in an argument and we get pushed against our wall of opinion or our judgments, we do get very much attached to our story. And in fact, that's one of the main things that prompted me to write my book that's recently out called Shift, Let Go of Fear and Get Your Life in Gear. And one of the key themes of my book is helping people reframe the way they think of their story. We have a whole lot of concepts around the idea of the self, and we have a tendency, I think, to get rather caught up in facts and figures and roles and titles. And quite often we decide somewhere along the way that our self is everything we are. It is our story. It is the facts. And one of the things that I try to dig into and explore in my book is that in order to reinvent ourselves, in order to renew ourselves, we have to be able to reframe, to revisit and explore what does it mean to have a story about who we are? What does it mean when we say, this is myself, this is who I am? What it really comes down to is we all have a narrative that we use to craft our lives. And what we're going to talk about today is the possibility that when we come up against that stuck place, that once we revisit the idea that our self may be more than just our roles, our titles, our family name, and our background, that maybe there's an opening for reinventing, for reframing, and for being creative around the way we story ourselves into the world. And I use that phrase, story ourselves, because it's a phrase that comes from my very special guest today, someone I am very excited to be in dialogue with. Her name is Maura Conlon McIver, Dr. Conlon McIver. And Maura is a colleague of mine. She's a good friend. She's also the best-selling author of a memoir called She's All Eyes, which, if you haven't read it, I highly, highly recommend it, and we will talk about how you can get a copy. Maura is a depth psychologist. She has a PhD, like myself, in depth psychology. and is also a student of reinvention herself, I think it's safe to say. She has been a TV producer and a journalist. She has worked for CNN.com. She's been featured in People magazine, Glamour magazine, and other national publications. She's working on her second memoir today. And one of her themes, I know, is near and dear to her heart, as I said, is how do we story, or how do we use our story to reinvent ourselves to live our full potential? So I want to welcome Maura and have her join our conversation. Hi, Maura.
Hi, Jeff. It's great to be with you here today. It's a beautiful sunny day in October.
You're talking to me across the quantum airwaves from Seattle, Washington, from Portland, right?
I am. We've had a beautiful stretch of sunny weather. So that's my story, and that's for sure, that one. Good
that's
to be
great.
Here.
That's great. Well, here we are in New York, and the sun is also shining here. So hopefully the sun will shine across the airwaves for our conversation. I want to introduce everyone a little bit more to who you are, because I'm privileged to know your background, and I've had the opportunity to read your book. And we're going to talk about this idea of reinventing ourselves by exploring our stories and looking at what that means in terms of, you know, early childhood development and maybe some of the ways that psychology has framed the idea of our personal narrative. So but in order to get our listeners more acquainted with your background, maybe you take a minute just to share a little bit of your story, how you came to be a psychologist and how you came to write this amazing memoir. And, just tell our listeners a little bit about your background.
All right. Would be happy to. I grew up in Los Angeles, the suburbs of Los Angeles, and was a very quiet and shy girl. In eighth grade, I won the most quiet girl award out of my entire class. And
I have to say, I find that hard to believe, but I'll take you for it.
I think we all can look back and remember that humiliating moment, but I think sometimes, and this is a theme I'm really interested in, which dovetails into yours, which is what we are born with authentically, that is with us our entire lives, despite the stories that we assume from the culture, from our families, from our workplaces. I think there are these little glimpses that happen in our lives early on that stay with us. And so after I won that award of Most Quiet Girl, I remember going up to the top of the class and having to give a speech. And I walked up to the top of the classroom like a proud peacock, like I knew exactly what I was doing. And I got up behind the podium and read my little talk, which was about how people need people. And so, you know, that theme goes way back then to the age of 12. And I spoke as if I was at Carnegie Hall. It just felt like I was doing something that was really essential to myself. You know, and after that particular phase of my life sort of disappeared. I didn't go on and become a politician or an orator or anything like that. But there's that little glimpse of being somebody who loves story, who loves speaking in front of people, who loves sharing how we're all connected and how story is something that can connect with us, that, you know, that stayed with me my whole life. And like as you shared, I entered the corporate world and assumed all these different titles. And it was probably when I was in my late 30s, early 40s, after my parents were getting sick and dying, you know, transition state, that's always when we start to look inside and ask who we are, that voice, that little girl from the eighth grade, that storyteller emerged again, and I realized I had a story to tell, and I sat down and wrote what became my memoir. So, you know, there's a lot there that I shared, but I think that key point being that despite what kind of childhood we have or what kind of culture we're living in, I would argue that we all have that moment where we're connected to some essence of who we are way deep down inside. And, you know, sometimes that can disappear for many, many years after that until we're
in some
kind of...
Yeah, how did you first get in touch with that voice from when you were a little girl as an adult? What prompted that?
You know, that's a really good question. I think sometimes when we are in a transition state, we we still stay very much locked in our left brain, you know, which is looking for sure answers and theories and, you know, sort of looking at what we already know to be that thing that will help us get to the next place. But sometimes when we're in these transition states, it's really like images that will start to surface that sort of taunt us, or dreams, or synchronicities. And for me, quite honestly, I just started to have some very interesting synchronicities in my life with regards to, well, it's a long story, and I'll save our time for another story later on, but synchronicities started to happen in my life where I realized I needed to start paying attention to ancestral silence in my family, for one. My father was an FBI agent and had recently passed away. And,
right.
You know, I started to get these weird synchronicities around some aspect of him just reappearing in my life after he had, you know, passed. And I think a lot of other people have those experiences, too, like, whoa, I had this dream of this
person. I think what you're pointing to is really profound. And we're going to take a break. And when we come back from the break, I want to continue along this trajectory that you started about how we get connected to our stories and how we may reframe and visit our childhoods in ways that are a little bit different, perhaps, from the typical psychological frame. You know, I think we have a cultural bias these days around psychotherapy and digging through our childhoods and trauma. And I know you and I are trained in something that we call depth psychology, and we can talk a little bit about maybe there are different ways to view how the childhood images, how your story comes to impact you. And when we come back, maybe we can talk a little bit about that and support people in really reconnecting to their childhood in a whole different creative and inspiring way. So we will be back in a couple of moments. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J and Dr. Maura Connellan. Kiver and I will be back right away.
Did you know Greek Gods yogurt has 20 billion live and active probiotic bacterial cells per serving? This healthy type of bacteria in yogurt helps boost the immune system by protecting the gastrointestinal tract and fighting off harmful organisms, preventing disease and helping you keep in tip-top shape. Did you have your Greek Gods yogurt for breakfast today? For more information, visit GreekGodsYogurt.com and AnnaLuke.com.
Discover why researchers are investing time and money in an attempt to explain reconnective healing and how you too can master this extraordinary work. Reconnective healing is a globally recognized new level of healing and has been documented in 6 books to date. Join Eric Pearl in Los Angeles for the Level 1 and 2 Reconnective Healing Seminar, October 1st through the 3rd. These seminars will teach you mastery beyond anything you've ever read about, thought about, or dreamed about. To register, visit thereconnection.com.
Hi, I'm Brenda Ball.
And I'm Tony Ball, and we've been married for over 25 years. In that time, we found ourselves putting on a pound or two per year, and next thing you knew, we're 30, 40 pounds overweight.
That's when we made the choice to get on that Take Shape for Life program. After being married for 25 years and struggling with weight that whole time, I'm actually now 2 sizes smaller than my wedding dress.
With the Take Shape for Life program, you can lose those extra pounds. To learn more, visit simpletolose.com. Results will vary. Consult a physician before beginning weight loss program. Call or go online for complete program and discount details.
Today's tip is brought to you by David Emerald, author of The Power of TED. Call a timeout every now and then. Set your watch to remind yourself every 2 hours to take a look at your intentions and actions. Have you been focusing on reacting to problems or creating outcomes? Have you been responding from the victim role of the drama triangle or the creator role of the empowerment dynamic? Take time out to review your intentions and choices, making sure that you are, indeed, focused on creating the outcomes you want in your life. That is the way of a creator. Here's to the creator in you.
Remember, for our dogs and cats to live long and happy lives, just like people, they are what they eat. Wellness Carefully selects wholesome ingredients to create food you can trust to provide the foundation of your pet's well-being. True wellness means every ingredient has a purpose in every recipe they make. You can trust the quality of all ingredients in Wellness from their source to your pet's bowl. Visit wellnesspetfood.com to find a pet specialty retailer near you. Wellness Natural Food for Pets. This is where true wellness begins.
After a 15-year search for a truly delicious, healthy, easy-to-prepare organic meal, Savitri and Adil Pakivala founded Eastern Essence. They set out to do what their friends and business acquaintances thought impossible, to produce delicious, healthy, vital food grown in harmony with nature and to promote organic farming in India. Happy food, happy people, happy planet. For more information, go to easternessence.com. That's easternessence.com.
Transformation Talk Radio on Stereo 1230 WBLQ.
And we're back. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J. And I am Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am talking today to Dr. Conlon McIver, Maura Conlon McIver, who is the author of a best-selling memoir called She's All Eyes. And Maura and I were just before the break talking about kind of that place that, that experiences that she was having in her life that prompted her to consider the possibility of writing a memoir and kind of revisiting her childhood in new and different ways, reframing and thinking and exploring. And I asked her about, like, what were the signals? How did she come to enter into that kind of dialogue with herself that led to her writing about that? And I want to bring that back up again because it's really a way of seeing our childhood experience that's a little bit different. I think, as I was saying before the break, we have a tendency in our culture to have a pretty strong bias around the way we view digging into our childhood. And in fact, you know, I have people who, when they hear that I have a PhD in psychology, and they think, "Oh my God, you're a shrink! You know, you're gonna sit me down, and I'm gonna be spending the next 30 years revisiting my childhood." And you know, we really have to educate people that there are a whole lot of different ways to revisit our childhood. So, Maura, tell us a little bit more about your explorations and how they led to the book, and just your view of how your psychological background informs your writing and your, you know, the way you work.
Sure. Well, I think what you just said, that we do think of revisiting our childhood as like this analytical trek up Mount Everest, you know. And it's all about analyzing. And I think, you know, there are times that's very valid, and we need to do that to uncover some things. But I still would frame that in the therapy of analysis at one end of the continuum. And at the other end of the continuum, I would say there's something called the therapy of creation. Going after, similar goals, but through a different mode. And one of my favorite stories, if I may share, and one of my inspirations in writing my book, was reading about Carl Jung, who, of course, I've read a lot of, and you have, and studying depth psychology. He, of course, founding the big brand of depth psychology and coining such terms as the collective unconscious and archetypes and synchronicity and things that have become common language in our everyday use. But he was at a point in his life where he was a student of Freud. There was sort of a father-son relationship with him, and he really depended on Freud. And then he reached a point in his own development when he realized he no longer agreed with all of Freud's theories, and there was something aching at him. There was something giving him lots of angst. He couldn't put his name, he couldn't figure it out, he couldn't analyze his way through it, he couldn't, you know, read anything to explain. So he just surrendered, and I think that term is a really key concept, is he surrendered into what was emerging within him. Now, when he was a young boy, he, in Switzerland, used to go to this lake, and he would build little stone forts, little stone villages, you know, with a stone church and the stone apartment building or, you know, whatever. And that's how he spent his summers as a kid. And then here he was as a middle-aged man going back to the lake of his childhood and getting down on his hands and knees and building stone villages.
That's right, yeah.
And he's going, okay, am I, like, crazy? If people saw a grown man doing this, they would think he was off his rocker. But I think that mode of what he was doing, you know, he was getting back into his body. He was going back to his childhood. There was something there. And what happened, and he writes about this in his memoir, Memories, Dreams, and... you know the rest of it, Jeff. Reflections.
Memories, dreams,
he
and
says,
reflections.
As I was doing that activity, you know, in this extreme state of discomfort and angst, as he was doing the sense of play, you know, in the moment and back in his childhood, that he actually saw the image of himself as a 10-year-old child, a 10-year-old boy. He was so full of potential and that feeling of like, wow, you know, the world is such an amazing place, and that sense of futurity that we associate with kids. And so he asks this question. He says, how can I make my way to that child? And I think for us it's that same thing. How can we make our way, you know, in our own states of transition or discomfort in the old way, not working anymore? And, you know, we might uncover that image or that slight memory, that little filament of what it felt like to be a child and that sense of wonder. And to reconnect with that sense of wonder actually invites our brain, left brain, but primarily right brain, to reorganize how we focus and how we can relate to the world. So this really isn't just an exercise of nostalgia. Oh, things were so simple and nice then. Da-da-da-da-da. But it really is going back to a psychological real estate within that still hums with huge velocity, regardless of how old we are.
Wow, yeah, that was really beautifully stated. I think that it's just like a completely recontextualizing the whole way we come to kind of look back on our lives, because what you're doing is you're connecting the past with the future. You know, I always say to my clients that the key to revival, which is one of the steps that I suggest that people go through when they're reinventing or renewing themselves, the key to shifting into a revival stage in our lives is to get back in touch with that childlike energy. And I think we have a tendency in our culture to want to look back at our childhoods and either say, oh, you know, I had a horrible childhood, or to really get fixated on what was wrong or what your parents did to you or what you were missing. And not to say, as you said, not to take away from that. I mean, there's a lot of healing that needs to happen from trauma. And, you know, these days you hear about bullying and the pain that can be inflicted that just obviously can last for years and needs to be healed. But at the same time, there is that little child in us that's always still alive. And what I love about what you're saying is there are ways to reconnect with that. You use the word futurity or that's kind of a tongue twister, but I think what you're pointing to is possibility and kind of the child's eyes, kind of the child's way of seeing. Tell us a little bit more about how you accessed that. I mean, if somebody were listening to us and they were thinking, yeah, wow, that's a different way of looking at my childhood, how would I access that? How did you access that?
Well, you know, everybody does have their own story, and it really I think the invitation is to go into arts and out of our left brains, which is constantly reducing everything and separating everything and keeping everything in a box for us. It's really the right brain that is the source of our story, our feeling, our emotions, that sense of mystery in life, and to begin to access that, you can remember when you were a kid, the favorite spots in nature that you maybe liked. Was there a secret hiding place? Was there a tree that was your tree to climb? You know, once you start following these memory images down, all of a sudden you feel it in your body, and you remember the smell. Al Gore in the movie An Inconvenient Truth, he talks about the stream that he grew up alongside in Tennessee as a boy and how that stayed with him his whole life. And he begins and ends his movie with the image of that stream. So, you know, I think these things affect us and we don't even know they're affecting us. For me, in my story, I, like I say, was a shy girl, but there were five kids in our family, Irish Catholic from New York originally, my parents. The youngest child was born with Down syndrome. And back then in the 60s, you know, they were considered very much the other, and yet he lived with us and Joe was full of love and really taught me about the heart because he was so full of love. I mean, constantly hugging and no ego. And, wow, and so I realized at an early age, like, oh, wow, like we have heart intelligence. We have a way of being with the world that's from our heart. And, you know, I always get very, you know, it's very close to my heart when I talk about my brother Joe because he really was my teacher. And as I grew up, of course, I got addicted to my brain, you know, right, like the rest of us. And yep. I think for me it was just a return to the heart. Like, you know what, this is really where my stories are. This is where the deepest aspect of who I am is there. And so I, you know, I started to just write poetry and listen to images and synchronicities. And like I say, my father, the FBI agent, passed away, and he handed me all of his letters from J. Edgar Hoover, you know, which was very unlike him to share anything about himself. So, you know, it was like remembering that eighth grade girl at the podium who wanted to tell stories, and now she was ready in midlife to sort of collect the gems from different
That's great.
Parts of life.
I love that. So we're gonna take a break, and when we come back, I want to dig further into this idea that the brain and our creativity and our intelligence is much more than just the analysis side of things. As you're pointing out, it's really a full body heart space that we can access. So I love this conversation. Thank you, Maura, and we will be right back.
After a 15-year search for a truly delicious, healthy, easy-to-prepare organic meal, Savitri and Adil Pakivala founded Eastern Essence. They set out to do what their friends and business acquaintances thought impossible, to produce delicious, healthy, vital food grown in harmony with nature and to promote organic farming in India. Happy food, happy people, happy planet. For more information, go to easternessence.com. That's easternessence.com.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
The Reconnection presents the 8th Annual U.S. Mastery Conference in Los Angeles, October 8th through 10th. Celebrate the reconnection of science, healing, and consciousness, and join this once-in-a-lifetime group of world-renowned speakers, authors, scientists, and luminaries. Elevate your health and happiness to new levels and connect to your true healing mastery. Featured speakers John Holland, Bruce Lipton, Joe Dispenza Daniel, and Catherine Brinkley, Raymond Moody, William Tiller, Eric Pearl, and more. They'll reveal new insights for the recognition of healing, science, and consciousness. Register now at TheReconnection.com.
We are living in a time of great challenges and greater opportunity for transformation. The good news is that public awareness of the need for change is also growing exponentially. More than ever, your transformative message is needed to empower millions across the globe.
Hi, I'm Dr. Pat, host of The Dr. Pat Show, and I'm excited about announcing an unprecedented opportunity for growth as we expand our broadcast by launching Transformation Talk Radio and the Transformation Network. Join me and a team of amazing people and host your own show on Transformation Talk Radio. Get ready to expand your horizons, tap into the best listeners anywhere, and join one of the most positive and expansive networks today.
Historically, there came a time when the boundary of water was transcended as man developed the boat, and the barriers of water became freeways. Join Dr. Pat as she launches this exciting venture. To host a show, call 1-800-930-2819 or email host at transformationtalkradio.com.
Transformation Talk Radio on Stereo 1230 WBLQ.
And we're back. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J. I am Dr. Jeffrey Hull, and I am talking today with my colleague and best-selling author, Dr. Maura Conlon McIver. Maura and I were just talking before the break about kind of a different way of accessing our experience of our childhood, a way of reframing and exploring sort of the creative side and the energy of possibility, and doing that in ways that are not sort of the typical sort of therapeutic analysis. And I want to take that another step further, because I know that Maura is well-schooled in some of the scientific literature, and she and I have talked about this. So, Maura, tell us a little bit about what the neuroscience literature is saying these days about the way we can access creative intelligence and how that might connect to the way we story ourselves in terms of our connecting our childhood experience with who we are today as adults.
Right. Well, you know, when we grow up, we're taught ABCs and arithmetic and those kinds of things, but we're never really taught about our brains. I don't know about you, Jeff, but I never had, I knew that there was like all these different parts of it and the cerebellum and all these things, but really in terms of how our brains are in, it sounds really psychological, but in deep relationship, the left side of the brain with the right side of the brain, and they each are very, very different from one another. I just want to mention a couple books that I recently finished, which I found to be quite helpful. And one of them was called The Master and His Emissary by Ian McGilchrist, who's a neuroscientist and a professor of humanities at Oxford. And he does a beautiful job talking about the difference between our left brain and our right brain. And also Mindsight by Daniel Siegel, MD, who's down at UCLA. But basically, you know, it's learning, if we can learn that our left brain is linear and logical, and it makes lists, and, you know, it's taking things apart and making things seem very finite and definite, and it's always right, and it's very, you know, this is how it is, like you said earlier, this is my story.
Yeah, it's facts and figures, right?
What's that?
Facts. People get very connected to the idea of data and facts.
And we live in a very left-brain world. I mean, right. We science and mathematics, mathematics and technology. I mean, this is all very demonstrative of that left-brain great talent that we have. Whereas the right brain is very creative, and in fact, the left brain depends upon the right brain for it. Gathering information from the world in a way that's very holistic, and it hasn't yet taken things apart. So there's a sense of cycles and seasons and color and texture and I would almost say like the poetic aspect of the mind. If you know, like you get the gestalt of something when you're out of nature, you smell it, you feel it, you embody it, and it's hard to describe in language the entirety of what you feel in your entire being.
Right.
That really is more demonstrative of how the right brain works. And so I think a lot of people and probably a, I would imagine some of your listeners would feel that we live in a very left brain dominant culture where that's what's valued and rewarded. But, you know, I think sometimes at our loss, because there is a richness that we have access to through the right brain to important memories, to important aspects of our essence and what makes us unique. I think that reservoir is very much connected from that right brain, which is also the part of the brain which is most connected to our bodily intelligence, our somatic feeling. So how do you get there? I mean, that's kind of like the million-dollar question without having to throw away your entire life, you know?
Yeah, well, it's about balance. It's about reconnecting to something that may have been lost, not giving up on the left brain, and not dismissing science or dismissing the value of analysis or logic. But I know for me, I think one of the ways you talked about synchronicity and images and dreams. I mean, I think that one of the access routes that I use with my clients, even in corporate settings, amazingly enough, is asking people if they're willing to just explore what their dream state is like. You know, to bring some of the narrative or the images of their dreams, and not so much to analyze and say, well, this means that or this symbolizes that, but just to be in like a dialogue with some of the dreams that they have. And I'm almost always amazed at how excited people, once they kind of get over the idea that we're going to try to fix them or solve a problem or know exactly what the dream means or predict the future or something like that. But we're just going to explore the images and really get into the story that they're experiencing in their dream state. I'm always amazed at, like, these really hardcore corporate people will bring me their dreams. And it's like, yeah, I dreamed I was in a garden and I was wearing a pink dress and I'm usually wearing a blue suit. And, you know, and then I ran into that person 5 years later and they're a gardener. You know,
right. Well, like, it's I love that. And, you know, so often that's the first question we ask each other. Oh, what do you do? What kind of question is that? That's a very left brain, this is who I am, this is a box in which I operate kind of question. Whereas what you're opening up in your work is a full body, full mind response to being alive. And bringing the right brain back into it, which is, you know, that hemisphere of dreams and the sense of timeless and all that. And, you know, I think sometimes when we look at our problems or our stuck places, sometimes I think we do have to look at the culture that we live in, because we are not a culture where we say, oh, and what dreams do you have for yourself? You know, this is one thing I love about traveling in Ireland, where I have family. Nobody, that, as I recall, visiting the pubs for the first time, of course,
right.
Everybody hangs out in Ireland. Nobody would ask me what I did. It was more, what are your stories? You know, where have you been?
Wow,
what are your
great
stories? And that, there was something that hit a nerve in me, like, oh, I think this is how we're supposed to be. I like this, because you can go so many places. And, you know, like you find working with your clients, you realize that we are so much more than the very important work we do during the day, but there is this larger story behind the story of who we are.
It's funny you're saying that. It's funny. It's so great that you're sharing that, because I recently had a client who came to me who was very upset at the fact that she was so moved by the movie Eat, Pray, Love. Have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
Or read the book. And yes. I think pretty much everybody knows about it, even if they haven't seen it. And she was actually self-critical about it. Like, oh, you know, it's just a best-selling sort of silly story about a woman who gives up her life and goes and explores and travels. And I shouldn't have been moved by that, because I can't quit my job. And, you know, and she was, and I kind of stopped her in mid-sentence and I said, you know, maybe that movie touched a place in you that you haven't paid much attention to, you know. And we started talking a little bit about her childhood. And as it turns out, you know, you made me think of this when you talked about Ireland. Her favorite stories from her childhood are when she did go exploring with her family to parts of the Northwest that she'd never been before. And the mountains and the beach and being in a new town and walking through the town and eating the food. And so it was like very, as you said, it was very physical and it had visual. And, you know, I wasn't telling her she should necessarily quit her job, but there was something very powerful about getting reconnected to that story of who we are. And it is very different from sort of an analytic way of seeing, or an analyzing kind of way of seeing the world.
I think that's lovely, and it reminds me of a quote by Muriel Rukeyser, who says, "The universe is made of stories, not atoms." And I think that we are made of stories, not atoms. You know, I mean, I think at the end of the day, at the end of our life, if I can kind of, you know, go there, I think it's the stories that our most profound stories that are closest to our heart that, you know, inform so much of who we are. And so how can we live our life so that we do stay connected to those places that fill us with wonder or that sense of exploration? And isn't that our human birthright?
Right. How do you recommend, you know, when you're talking to your clients or your friends and they're in that place of being kind of stuck in their story, do you have any special techniques that you use to get them to shake it up and give themselves permission?
Well, I because I write memoir, I am very fascinated with memory and how memory is actually with us all the time. There are many quotes that many famous people and wise people have said that even though we age chronologically, that right underneath the surface of our skin are very profound images and memories from those first 14 years of our life when we are experiencing things for the first time, right? The first time you have an ice cream cone.
Right.
The first time you smell a rose, the first time you hold somebody's hand. And it's almost like those first times collectively create some kind of special real estate in the center of our heart, and they're there. So I like to invite people to not so much analyze, but find ways to go into a sense of play with all of that. You can get a journal. You can get paper and crayons even, and draw the first place that you did hide out as a child. Or do you remember your room when you were 13 years old? What did it look like? What kind of feel did it have? What part of you was in that room? Did you have a poster you liked? Or was there incense that you burnt? Of course, I'm, you know, letting on to my generation here. Patchouli was my oil of choice. You know, so it's like really using the senses to get to those things that were kind of like how we related to the world.
Yeah,
so,
I love that. I'm gonna stop you because we're gonna jump to a quick break. But what I love about what you're saying more is that the access route to your right brain is so often through the senses, not through the thinking.
Yeah.
And we're gonna take a break, and when we come back, we're gonna talk a little bit more, I think, about how do you access that story from your childhood, and then maybe how do you put it to work in your life today. So you're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J, and we will be right back.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.
Do you feel energetically bankrupt? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Did you know CRA anticipates a problem and solves it before it occurs, and often prevents a disaster waiting to happen? With CRA, we have predictable results before the onset of illness. CRA is an energy assessment of the body's electrical circuits evaluating the emotional, structural, and nutritional needs of the body. By reinforcing the body with specific nutrition to promote peak performance, CRA detects the results of what the body has been taking in causing ill health and gives insight into removing the obstacle to healing and nourishes the body back to health. CRA balances you emotionally, nutritionally, and structurally for you to be the best you can be and gives you a glimpse of a world where aging appears to be slowed indefinitely. With CRA, I will design a program for your specific needs. Call us at 888-777-4222. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
Reservage Organics offers you the most advanced anti-aging product available. Our organic-based resveratrol formula, brought to you from the heart of our exclusive vineyards in southern France, has been clinically proven to reactivate your longevity gene and help preserve your youth. By including Reservage Resveratrol in your daily regimen, you can enhance cardiovascular function, metabolism, mental acuity, and collagen production. If you want to regain your youthful radiance and enhance your longevity, do so with the world's finest resveratrol from Reservage Organics. Why wait? Visit your local retailer and start the anti-aging process today. Reservage Organics, committed to the extension of youth naturally. Available online at Reservage.com and at the Vitamin Shop, Vitamin World, and Whole Foods Market. Visit Reservage.com and feel vitality today.
Transformation Talk Radio on Stereo 1230 WBLQ.
And we're back. You're listening to Life Shifting with Dr. J. And I'm Dr. Jeffrey Hull. And I'm talking today to Dr. Maura Connellan McIver, who is the author of a best-selling memoir called She's All Eyes. And Maura, just before we forget, let's have your contact information. If people want to, obviously they can pick up your book probably in most bookstores. But you also have a website. Is that right?
Yes, I do, and that's Maura Connellan, M-A-U-R-A, Connellan, C-O-N-L-O-N, good Irish name, MauraConlan.com.
Great. And people can get information about you and the work that you do and the book and everything at that site also, right?
That's right.
Great. Well, we only have a few more minutes, and I think what I'd like to do is try to get a little practical for folks. During the break, we were talking about the idea here in terms of using this exploration of your childhood story and reconnecting that to the present. It doesn't mean that we're asking, lawyers and accountants and corporate people to just go out and like quit their jobs once they get reconnected to their childhood energy. But at the same time, we're more than just one thing. We're more than just one role, one part of our lives. So, I know, Maura, you operate in multiple faceted profession as a writer, as a journalist, as an environmentalist. Can you share a little bit about how you stay connected to the real world and any tips or thoughts you might have for people that are kind of, thinking about this conversation and how it would impact them or how they could utilize it in their practical life.
Well, I think sometimes we live in an all or nothing society. I can either be all this or all that, but I can't be a hybrid of sorts. And I always love to read about the Renaissance, because there were these Renaissance people who were writers and illustrators and inventors, and they were, to use our language of before, they were utilizing both left brain and right brain aspects of their minds. They didn't limit themselves to, well, here's the box in which I live. But there's only so many hours in the day. And so, I think one approach I'd like to take is to take the perspective. Perspective is key. Take the perspective of the mouse. And what's one small little thing I could do today that would maybe just take 10 minutes, where I could reconnect with some of that sense of what I call the child archetype energy, that sense of wonder,
right. Yep.
All that. What's just one little thing I could do today what's one little thing? And then you do it. And I think it's just asking ourselves that question and giving ourselves permission, because sometimes,
yeah,
you know, there's so much else to do that's so much more, quote unquote, important. But I think new things start to open up to us when we allow ourselves to go there. The brain lights up when metaphor and image are allowed back into our life again. You know, that's when we're really sort of at our peak, when we allow ourselves to go to this place. And
yeah,
then sometimes we become the eagle and we look at the bigger view of our life, and then we can sort of see the patterns evolving. But I think we can start just bit by bit every day with small activities, walks in nature, you know, the drawing, the writing, even talking about it, even remembering the stories, telling stories of what it was
like. Getting out the old photo albums and going through and looking at the photos of your childhood.
Well, and the question I would ask you and I would ask your listeners to think about is, when did your childhood end? Was there a particular day? Was it October 16, 1973? Was it November 10th, you know, 1949? I mean, like, when does it end? Does it end? And if it doesn't end, then where is that sense within us?
Yeah, I love that. That's such a profound question, because I think, you know, that's the tendency we have to frame our childhood in sort of like split selves. You know, I can think of so many people that have said to me, my childhood ended when I was 13 and we had a house fire and I had to become an adult, and or when I got my first job and I was delivering newspapers and I realized that was the end of, you know, being a carefree young kid, and I had to then start to make money. And I think that it's very easy to then go down that path, that the child in us got buried and is either dead or gone, or, you know, was cut off. And what you're pointing to is that child is alive in us always. We just have to find an access route to it. And it doesn't have to mean that you're going to, you know, quit your job and go out and become an actress or write a memoir. But to get back in touch with that energy, isn't that what you're saying?
Right. And I think in times in our life when we are feeling miserable, or we are feeling stuck, or we are feeling, you know, in a state of transition, oftentimes it is that archetypal child inside of us that's banging inside of the door, you know, saying, just can you let a little bit of me out again?
Right.
And in our culture, we tend to infantilize, if that's the right word, like, oh, you're regressing, you're immature. But I think that energy is central to all life moving forward, from inventing new things, invention, creation,
right,
innovation. It all comes from that same sense that we're talking about. You know, it's just not all reductionistic and locked down in the left brain, analyzing, taking things apart. It is reconnecting to that sense of expansiveness that is a part of our being. We already have it inside of us. Everything that we need, we already have inside of us, which, when you think about, is a pretty darn exciting thing to contemplate.
Yeah, I love that. And that the child is alive in you at all times. Childhood actually never ends. It's accessible, it's part of us, and that playful, exploring, creative, right-brained, visual image kind of person is always there waiting for you to just unlock him or her. So
I think about when, you know, people talk about retirement, and it's like, oh, what are you going to do? Well, they're going to go and become who they left themselves, who they were. That same sense of zest and excitement that they felt when they were a 14-year-old. So it's like,
right,
I'm going to go back to that. And there's really no sense to ever leave that behind.
Yeah.
And what I found working with and just knowing people at the end of their lives, a lot of times people do go back to their childhood. They do talk about the time back when they were 10 years old, and their father said this to them. Or they do go back and remember the story of their first trip rafting down a river as a kid. And it's always amazing to me that people wait to the very, very ends of their lives to share these primal stories that that for them hold so much of joy and
right,
so much of how they belong to the world. You know,
it's really great. I'm gonna. We're at the very, very end of our conversation, so I hate to break that wonderful moment because you're really touching on something so profound. But I want to take a minute just to thank you, Maura, for joining me today. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to be in dialogue with you. And I love you dearly, and I love your book, and I hope everyone will go out and read it. And I want to thank you for joining me today, and hopefully we'll see your next book soon.
Thanks, Jeff. It was really lovely to share
our
stories.
It was great. Okay, everyone, I'm about to sign off, and before I do, I just want to say that if you want to keep this conversation going in a really practical way and get in touch with that childlike energy, join me next week when I will have a creativity coach and a writing coach joining me to talk about how to turn that childhood energy into something practical that you can express in the world. So have a great one, and thank you for joining me on Life Shifting with Dr. J. Good night.
Life Shifting with Dr. J is a show about living full out and helping listeners to banish their fears, embrace their dreams, and move with greater ease through the ups and downs of our crazy world. Dr. J's Life Shifting method is all about reinventing and renewing ourselves throughout our lives. Dr. J will have a wide array of entertaining, insightful, and highly credentialed guests who will inspire us with stories of their own life shifts. Listeners will wake up, listen deeply, and reflect about their own lives, and are encouraged to call in and get live coaching from Dr. J and his expert guests who are passionate about helping people reclaim lost vitality. Life Shifting with Dr. J is about heartfelt dialogue, amazing life stories, personal struggles of highly successful people, their journeys, their ups and downs, and their triumphs. Listen in to Life Shifting with Dr. J on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll be inspired and moved to step up to your growing edge and shift your life into high gear. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for the complete show schedule.